Yes, I am a pirate, 200 years too late. The cannons don't thunder, there's nothing to plunder. I'm an under 40 victim of fate, arriving too late. Arriving too late.
Oh, Dave McKinney killing it with that intro. Thanks a lot, Dave, for sending us over our own version of Power Looks at 40 with the under 40 victim of fate line. Welcome back to another episode of Under 40 Victims of Fate. Hello, Hank.
Hello, Adam. That was Dave McKinney of the Hungry Hard Luck Heroes, a Jimmy Buffett cover band tribute to the early years. They go Facebook Live and really rock it, by the way. Dave, incredible guy, incredible musician. Yeah. And they make a mean t-shirt. I have a t-shirt from the Hungry Hard Luck Heroes. It has a can of sardines and a jar of peanut butter on it. Hopefully most of our listeners will get that reference, Adam.
Yeah. I love what those guys are doing. And I didn't even realize till we were texting this week that they had a YouTube page up with just a ton of Buffett covers. Live, some of them kind of done in the studio setting to go if you have a few hours to get lost in some really good cover music and check out Hungry Hard Luck Heroes on YouTube, on Facebook, on Instagram. Dave's a great follow on Instagram. And as you said, he's a great friend of ours, friend of the pod.
So great follow, great friend, great guy. Yeah, now, I'll say, given the history of folks that we've talked about on the old podcast, Dave, this is not your signal. This is not permission for you to now up and vanish, and nobody knows where you went. All right. So we got to get some credibility back. So, Dave, whatever happens, keep doing the right thing.
I think you will. In fact, I'll go ahead and tease that he's going to be on the pod soon. And maybe he'll play some covers for us. Maybe he'll play a song that he and I have been working on together.
Big time.
So I'm kind of excited about that.
Well, Adam, I'm glad we're back. You know, we promised the people that we would we'd have some more. This week I was at a mixer event for this thing, and I had to give some trivia about myself that people had to guess, and mine was 41 Jimmy Buffett concerts. And somebody walked up to me and they went, you can't be the Jimmy Buffett concerts. You're not old enough to have been to 41 Jimmy Buffett concerts. And I said, well, first, thank you. my hair has struggled in recent years. And so when somebody says I don't look old enough for anything, I'm thrilled. But secondly, I said, boy, you couldn't be more off base there, because guess what? There are quite a few fans of James under 40. In fact, there's two really cool guys that have an entire podcast about that.
So should I got check that out. Yes. About it,
you know, big time. And I have a great coworker and a good buddy. He'll check the podcast out because he's that kind of guy. I don't know if he's into Jimmy Buffett, but he's a good buddy. And so we'll check the podcast out because of that. But I've started playing him one Jimmy Buffett song of the day at work. Today was day one for him. You know what song we went with?
I'm going to guess One Particular Harbor.
Heck of a guess, but it's not. We'll go with that one soon. That's What Living Is to Me. That's what we
want. Oh, that's a great start. I'm really proud of that.
I knew you'd like it.
You went the objective route there.
That's right.
That's right. Good. That's really
well,
good.
I've been talking to people about what a great writer of lyrics he is, and I don't think my friend speaks Tahitian, so he wouldn't understand a lot of the good part of One Particular Harbor. So had to go with something else.
That's a good call. I think you nailed it. Mm-hmm. We're here today to do our first album deep dive. And it's one of my favorite albums of all time by any artist. It's Fruitcakes, baby. This album came out 5 days. Fruitcakes in the kitchen. Yeah, this album came out 5 days after I was born. So
deal.
I'm not going to say I've loved it ever since. I've loved it for about 4 or 5 years now because I'm a late bloomer, as our ride or die listeners know. But, oh my gosh, we said last episode we were going to do our rankings 13-1 on this album. And I joked with you before we hit the record button, it's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
It was very hard.
It was really difficult. Yep. Really difficult, because it's honestly 13 good songs. And there's like what I would consider probably 11 really good songs. And we'll disagree a little bit, I'm sure. But I'm interested to see where we're similar.
So I'll tell you, I would disagree already a little bit. I don't know that there's 13 great songs. There's 12 great songs. Number 13 was very easy for me. It got tougher after that. I've got a little personal bias a couple places. I'll explain. You know, I probably owe some people an apology for some of it. But I got some personal bias that maybe led to a little bit. But after, you know, number 13 was very easy to me. After that, it got pretty tough. You know, like I kind of knew, you know, Quietly Making Noise was going to be up there on mine, right? It was never going to be better than, I don't know, Vampires, Mummies, and the Holy Ghost. But like,
hey, man,
Vampires, Mummy, and the Holy Ghost is just not a song to be discarded lightly either, you know?
Okay. No, you're right. Sometimes, in fact, it came on shuffle the other day, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to change it today. And also in prepping for this episode, I want to ask you what your method was. Did you start by trying to start at the top or trying to start at the bottom and work your way down?
Good question. Actually, a really good question. So I started by listening to the Fruitcakes album straight through a couple times.
Yeah.
And then I jumped around for a few tracks to try to figure out what the best one was. But I didn't start my ranking that way. I started my ranking at number 13, the worst song on the album, because that was just so easy. You know, it was easy for me to pick 13. Right. So I started at 13. 12 was also, you know, I kind of felt like I knew where I was going with 12. And so I worked backwards from there. But I got about to number 8 or 9, and I had to go up to 1 and work backwards and kind of fill it in, because it wasn't just like a jot down a quick list. Like, it's
right.
It's hard because it's a really complete album and the songs are all over the map, right? Like, there's not like one type of song on the album or one distinct sound of the album. You just got a lot of stuff on there. Also got some covers on there, so you got to deal with that. You know, where do you put the songs that are covers that are not originally Jimmy Buffett songs?
That didn't factor into my list as much, the cover side of it, because I think Jimmy does such a good job of making a cover his own that anything he covers really becomes his own. So, and it's not like I was really jamming out to the Dead's version of Uncle John's Band or the Kinks version of Sunny Afternoon, though I'm not jamming out to Buffett's version of Sunny Afternoon either a whole lot. But before we get into the rankings, it's kind of surprising. This was Jimmy's first top 10 album. It peaked at number 5 on the Billboard Top 200 and then was certified platinum in 2004.
Certified platinum.
Yeah, are you not surprised a little bit that it's not the first, or that it is the first top 10?
No, I'm not. I mean, during the 70s, he was never going to put out an album that would have been Billboard Top 10. Like, he just wasn't mainstream enough, right? Like, as much as, like, if you think about what was popular in the 70s, and you go, man, you know, why didn't A1A make the cut in the 70s for top 10? It just wouldn't have, right? It didn't jive with the rest of it. And then even in the 80s, like, I love the albums. One Particular Harbor should have been number one in 1983. It wasn't. That's a travesty. But you think about it, right? Like, what? I mean, Florida is a great album, but not a threat to be top 10 on the Billboard charts, you know?
Right. I think I'm surprised that Songs You Know By Heart wasn't. You know, despite it being a compilation, I feel like, especially when it was re-released in like the 90s or whatever, with the yellow cover and the red writing, I'm just surprised. I feel like it sold a lot.
We gotta get the parameters for rankings for the Billboard top 100.
That's
or
true too.
Because maybe they don't allow compilation albums.
And I wondered about that. I wondered about that, and who knows? I don't even know when they started the list. So we're kind of just rambling here. But I was kind of surprised that it was first top 10 album. Moving on. I mean, how do you want to do this? You want to just jump into our rankings, or
let's go. Let's do it. Let's let it rip. Why don't you tell me number 13, the worst song on the album? To me, it's easy. Clear cut.
Well, I know what yours is. It's different from mine. 13 for me is Vampires, Mummies, and the Holy Ghost.
So let me tell you, that's two poor takes. So a lot of my friends are lawyers, Adam, right?
Yeah.
My friend Matt Krause, excellent attorney, brilliant mind. A beautiful mind, some would say, similar to the movie. The man remembers everything in excruciatingly just intricate detail. And, you know, he is one of the guys I mentioned that has really become a fan of James thanks to the pod. He was a little bit before, but he did a deep dive through all the albums. Listen to every single album. Started with the very first one. Listen to every single one straight through. And he is a, by God, Jimmy Buffett fan now, which is awesome. But he told me the other day, and he said, by the way, Hank, Adam's take that Fruitcakes and Banana Wind and Barometer Soup are three of his best albums right in a row. He said, that's an all-time bad take. He said he has eight albums before the 90s that are all better than those. I think what you've just said, Vampires, Mummies, and the Holy Ghost being number 13 on this album, it's not an all-time bad take, but boys, we're off to a rocky start.
Well, listen, I ranked these based on what my least favorite was, not on the craft of the song.
Yeah.
Right. And I was guessing that's how you did it. I based it off of what do I listen to the least? What gets skipped the most?
You're telling me that you skip Vampires, Mummies, and the Holy Ghost more than you skip Sunny Day?
Sunny Afternoon, yes.
Sunny Afternoon. I blocked that song out of my brain. It's a clear cut number 13. I don't even know what a Ray Davies is. I'm sure he had a great career and is a good man. But for me, number 13, clear cut, easy, Sunny Afternoon.
Well, it's also a song that I skip a lot, which is why it's my number 12. Number 12. So
you redeemed yourself a little bit.
I'm with you there.
My number 12, I owe some people an apology on this. I got a personal vendetta. There's no fault of the fine people of France. All right. Listen, I got bad food poisoning in France. I've had a little thing about it ever since. We had this whole thing. You're too young to remember, but maybe it was 2000 or 2004. The French 4x100 men's freestyle relay team was just running their mouth. And Gary Hall Jr. just walked this cat down. So, you know, that with the food, that was all right in about a 2-year period. I had the food poisoning plus the big swim race, us against the French. So I kind of like, you know, I've been a little bit, you know, all things France, I've had a little bit of apprehension there, probably because of the bad, bad food poisoning that I got. And then the swim race capped it off. But I'll say this. Frenchman for the Night is number 12 for me. That said, it's not a bad song. It is not a bad song.
It's such a good song, man.
Not a bad song.
I really like this song. I really like Frenchman for the Night.
It's not a bad song. I do like it. It's just, you know, this is like if you have the all-star team, like, you know, somebody's got to be Lamar Odom. You know what I'm saying?
Amen, brother. That's it. Yeah. Well, it's so smooth, though. That's what
it
I is. Like.
I don't skip it. I'll be clear. Yeah. I don't skip it.
Yeah, it's smooth. And I think now we're already getting into songs that, you know, we like and that we really think are good, but there's just others that we think are better.
You're also a little, you know, you're a little younger than me, Adam. So you probably don't remember a time, but there was a time back in the day. I remember it. I don't remember. I wasn't old enough. I don't remember well enough to know exactly what had happened. There was a time when people got mad at France. Like America was very mad at France for some, I think it was surrounding some war, but there was this restaurant in my town. We changed the name of French fries, this very popular restaurant in my town started calling them freedom fries, would not call them French fries. So we got mad at the French for some reason. I don't know. I've just never disliked them. Fine people, very friendly when I talk to them. Obviously, rich culture, art, history, the whole nine. So that probably leads to, you know, I know, I love them. They're wonderful. That, but again, the freedom fries, the freestyle race, and then the bad food poisoning, probably just some personal bias led to Frenchman being number 12 there. Well, maybe not, because it's still a good song, you know?
Why don't you go ahead and do your number 11 now?
Well, this is why Vampires, Mummy, and the Holy Ghost is 13 can't be an all-time bad take for you, because that's number 11 for me. Okay. But I don't know how it can be the worst song on the album. I mean, there's some good writing there, you know? I was never afraid of the murderer on the block. He nurtured orchids. He raised hamsters. But the neighborhood is still in shock. That's good stuff. It's cheeky.
There's some good writing there. It feels incredibly, in an album that doesn't have a lot of goofiness, it feels really goofy. And I don't know. And I like a lot of Jimmy's goofy songs, like The Ballad of Skip Wylie. And obviously everybody likes Cheeseburger and Fins, but I don't know. And maybe I fight with the, is this sacrilegious part a little bit? You know what I mean? Because Jimmy is kind of upfront with his take on religion, if you will.
He's a recovering, as my dad tells people, he's too recovering Catholic. I don't know what my dad means by that, but
if I was raised that way, you know, no offense.
He did go to Catholic school just like my dad. Yeah, I could see it, right? You spend the childhood getting the old knuckles wrapped by the nuns,
right?
You know, every time you got out of line, I could see there being a little bit of personal animus. So maybe, but I still think there's pretty good writing, and it's decent.
There is good writing there. Again,
what do you have? I'm going to jot your list down. What do you have for number 11?
My 11 is She's Got You. Obviously, okay. A cover, right?
What was after Vampires? Sunny Afternoon?
Sunny Afternoon. Yeah. So obviously Hank Cochran wrote the song, but was it Patsy Cline that originally recorded this song? I believe
it was, and I think we've talked about it. I think we've talked about it before on the pod briefly, and we didn't get any hate mail about it. But I remember being pretty clear that Jimmy's version is pretty good. Jimmy's version is a pretty good tune, but. It is a blowout of Patsy Cline's version, in my opinion. I mean, it's a pretty catchy, good little tune here. I think the remastered music on it is elite. So it is a Patsy Cline tune. Jimmy's is way better. I'm sure Patsy may have some family out there who will lament hearing this, but I think Jimmy's version is way better, despite how much I think it's way better. That's my number 10. So we're pretty close on that.
Okay. So we've been pretty close here. For the most part, right?
Yeah, so we're pretty in line with stuff right now. We're pretty lined up. We're pretty similar. So far, you've got Vampires, Sunny Afternoon, She's Got You, and I've got Sunny Afternoon, Frenchman, Vampires, and She's Got You at number 10. No disrespect intended to Patsy Cline. It's just
that's right.
Patsy Cline wants a running clock if we compare those two. You know what I mean? It's a blowout.
So. That's right, and Patsy Cline gets some love from Jimmy in Miss You So Badly. He's got a head full of Patsy Cline. So
that's right.
All right, where are we?
Number 10 for you. Number 10 for Adam.
You're going to be mad. It's Apocalypso for me. And this I love the song. But, man, do you ever try to record with your wife in the room? I mean, just don't.
Yeah.
Just don't, because she tries to, like, throw me off my game.
She tried to distract me. Can't do it. You're a pro, baby. You're a pro. No, I haven't, but we do. Can she hear me right now? We do need to have our wives both on the podcast together. Emily, you're doing it. At some point, we're all coming, and you guys are going to talk about what it's like to be married to famous podcasters who are really into Jimmy Buffett. It's going
to
be great.
Yeah, she can't hear because my headphones are on. Hank is saying that you have to be on the pod sometime.
You don't want me talking about Jimmy.
Did you hear that?
No.
She said you don't want her talking about Jimmy.
Mm. Well, she can talk about you.
I probably don't want her talking about me. So,
so number 10, you got Apocalypso.
I've got Apocalypso. Where are you going?
Apocalypso, not as high up my list as you would think. Okay. We're not going to get to it yet, but it's not as high up my list as you would think. Because really, number 10 is where it really gets tough. You know, maybe number 9 is where right. 9 or 10, it really gets tough.
I agree.
You know, it's hard to argue. The other songs are really good that are going to come up next. So it's hard to argue, you know? So let me see here. Number 9 for me, you're not going to understand where I'm coming from here, but number 9, a terrific song. I mean, you might catch me on the right day and it'd be top 10 for me of all of Jimmy's catalog. Mm-hmm. But as I really sat down and really thought about it, you talk about whimsical and fun, those kind of things. To me, this song suits that. Everybody's Got a Cousin in Miami.
Okay. All right.
Number 9.
Yeah, I get it.
I know your favorite line's in that song. I know it's a great line. It's a great line. But
I get it because depending on your taste, that could fall in the same category as Vampires, Mummies. You know what I mean? I think it's a much better crafted song. It's obviously much higher on my list, but I understand where you're coming from. I can respect that. I'm not going to blast my co-host like I was blasted by Matt Krause and by my co-host. So moving on, that was your number 9?
That was 9.
Okay, my number 9 is Uncle John's Band.
Oh, I had Lone Palm. I was guessing for you next.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And listen, I really like Uncle John's Band.
Yeah,
I do. It is a jam. Like, windows down, warm weather. It's just a lot of fun. Come here, Uncle John's Band, by the riverside. Got some things to talk about here. Beside the rising tide. Mm-hmm. It's just, man, it's fun. And I love how much Jimmy took what seems very much like a campfire song from the dead and made it into this arena rocker, as you would think Jimmy would do. It's a really cool song.
It's a really cool song. And, you know, I got 3 words to say about that one.
Right. Jimmy's is better.
Well, I got 2 different sets of 3 words to say about that one. Jimmy's is better.
Okay.
But thank you, Jerry. That's all I got to say. Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah.
Jerry did a lot of great things for a lot of people and was an incredible musician, incredible human being. Some may call him a philosopher of sorts. Great dude. I will say there's maybe 3 or 4, 4 or 5 bands that have the kind of intensely loyal following that James has, and just ride or die fans. I mean, listen, Tara and I go all over the country. We watch James in concert. We love it. And I tell people, it's kind of like if you went to a football game and you knew your team was going to win, you know, everybody's in a good mood. People having a couple sodas, you know, some tailgating, you see old friends that have come to town for the show, but there's really limited, almost negligible, maybe 0 almost chance of disaster. So imagine going to a football or basketball game and you knew your team was going to win. You know, that's what it reminds me of.
That's the best thing about a concert experience. Yeah, for sure.
They're like that. Number 8 may surprise you a little bit for me, and I owe my friend Barbie an apology. Barbie, you know who you are. She loves this one. I'm sorry. Number 8 for me. It's a great song. But it's number 8 for me on this album. It is 6 String Music. That's what it is.
Okay. All right. I really like 6 String Music too. But it's one of those, it's one of those, we're in that range now that we talked about. I don't know if we're recording or not, but we're in that range now where they could be kind of interchangeable. Right? Yep. Like my 8 through 5 on any given day could easily change.
Same. I'm probably going like 8 through four could probably be changed for me. Like, in fact, if we did this again in 2024 and 2025, they probably would be.
Definitely, because my list is way different now than it was than it would have been if we did this, you know, in September of last year. So my number eight is the title track. It's Fruitcakes. Wow.
That's a bit of a stunner.
It is, right? Love the song. Love the song. I listened to the whole darn thing in order to just get to the part. So I put on my Bob Marley tape and practice what I preach. You know, I love that line. Let me tell you what has it so far down the list is that opening monologue. I know it's iconic. I wish there was a way to listen to it without scrubbing, you know. I wish there was a version I could download that just starts at the beginning of the song.
Where you don't have to hear him talk about Junior Mints.
Junior Mints, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. That's fair. You know, because I'll say, it's also not a song you can play over the loudspeaker at a baseball game between innings. I learned that the hard way. All right. So, and not because it's vulgar, there's anything wrong with it, right? Just because you got a minute and a half of James talking about Junior Mints and that kind of thing. And, you know, that you only get about that much time between innings. So I'm like, hey, man, play Fruitcakes between innings on Jimmy Buffett night at the ballpark. Next thing you know, the people barely get to hear about Desdemona, you know?
Yeah. Which brings us to something I should probably point out. This is Jimmy's first studio album since Opposite the Lizard in 1989. Yeah. And he's asking his fans to be extremely patient through the first two tracks that add up to near about 15 minutes, I believe. I mean, yeah, Everybody's Got a Cousin in Miami, 719, Fruitcake, 740.
There's a lot of monologue in Everybody's Got a Cousin in Miami, too.
There is. There is.
You know, I'll say Fruitcake's from a writing standpoint, very strong, too, though. One of my favorite lines. I might have said it on here before. We lost our Martian rocket ship, the high-paid spokesman said. Looks like the silly rocket ship lost its cone-shaped head. And this is the one I love. We spent $90 jillion trying to get a look at Mars. I hear universal laughter ringing out amongst the stars. That's a big-time line.
That's great.
Fun aside here, the Mars rover for quite a while was driven by an East Carolina graduate. Learned that the other day. Go Pirates. Perfect. So that's good stuff. Yep. Gold. So there you go.
There you go.
You know, I have Fruitcakes at number eight for you. That's, again, not a terrible take. You're not going to love my number seven either.
Speaking of Fruitcakes, how about the government?
How about the government? Your tax dollars at work.
Yeah,
Belmont, famous for its parks here. We got beautiful, beautiful parks. And they just redid our tax evaluations on everybody's homes, too. And, boy, did they skyrocket for everybody. And so people are up in arms. And so they either got to do something about that or we better have the best schools and roads in the universe in a few years. Here nor there, there's a sign every time they're doing work at the park and putting something up or working on the fountain.
They always have a sign. Your tax dollars at work.
It says, your tax dollars at work. And I chuckle every time. Every time.
You said Lone Palm.
Number seven, Lone Palm. A little slow for me. I mean, I like it. Well written. Good tune. Just a little slow. I don't think it can reach past the other songs on here.
It feels so classic to me. It feels like that song could have been on Volcano or Son of a Sailor. Song feels like the most classic Buffett song, and I'm almost positive that was the one that he wrote by himself, one of the only songs that he wrote by himself on this album. And it is a bit higher on my list. My number seven's Frenchman for the Night. We've already talked about it, but it's so smooth. I love the opening line from his Driftwood Castle Comes, a song I've heard before. Scratch your gramophone, cuts to the bone, la vie en rose. Arpeggios. So I'm not French, nor can I speak it very well, but I love how that song begins and how smooth it is. And hearing it live in Virginia Beach kind of made it shoot up my list a little more.
Yeah. Listen, didn't Caroline Jones do it with him that night we were there?
I don't No, Caroline Jones was not with him that night. I don't think. This was just Jimmy.
I'm not against the song. If you know, I would. I mean, it's a great song. Well written, beautiful, smooth, relaxing. You know, I had nothing bad to say about it. It's just stacked up. It's just Lamar Odom, baby. You know, that's it.
I feel that. Feel that. For me, it's wearing Lamar Odom's number 7. When did we become sports radio?
I know. Love Lamar Odom, by the way. Number 6 for me is
we're going to come back around. We're going to come back around to Lamar Odom too.
That's right. Number six is Uncle John's Band for me. Okay.
Yeah,
that's fair. You know, it just purely from a song and musical standpoint, I could argue that maybe it goes over a song that's still to come. But I gave a little deference. I prefer on a Jimmy Buffett album, I prefer Jimmy Buffett songs. Even though he does incredible covers, you could make a whole album of covers that he's done. It would be elite. But that dropped it a little bit.
That makes sense. I can't argue with it.
Here's part of the problem too. It's not even the best Grateful Dead cover that he does.
You're a big Scarlet Begonias guy.
Huge.
I think I'd take Uncle John's Band over it. Personal preference, like both.
Yeah.
So
to me, Jimmy's version of Scarlet Begonias is one of the happiest things I can hear. I heard him play it in Virginia last year, actually, and I thought he might play it because the concert was during the 7 days, which is the little period of time on the calendar between, I think, Jerry's birthday and the calendar day that he passed away, something like that. But I knew we were in that period, so I knew we had a shot, and we heard that one live. But when you talk about favorite moments at a Jimmy Buffett concert that do not involve my wife, being there with her and hearing Coastal Carolina live and getting to dance with her tops the charts. So as far as moments that don't involve my wife go, though, Key West Second Row is up there because she wasn't up there with me. But Scarlet Begonias live in Virginia last year, that may be one of my top 2 or 3 concert memories and moments ever.
Great song. I've never heard it live, but yeah, makes sense.
What do we got for 6 for you, Adam Caps?
My 6 has the number 6 in the title. It's 6-string music. I love this song. I think this song and Far Side of the World come a little bit out of the same vein, right, of traveling around the world. I remember that night in Africa, my daughter and my little guitar straddling Quater, the King of Zanzibar.
King of Zanzibar.
Mm-hmm.
1990s.
I really dig this song. And when COVID first happened and everybody was so scared of everything, I kept playing this song because I just wanted the world to turn off the TV, turn off the crap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and I loved that. I remember one time my mom saying for me to turn the music down because she wanted to hear the news, and I thought you'd be a lot happier if you turned the news down and the music up.
There's no question. How old are you when that happened?
I don't know. It's been years ago. I don't remember exactly. But
there's some famous line that gets attributed to a million people here and there, you know, like play your best, you know, Michael Jordan, like, well, there's probably a million people that said that, you know, but there's this famous line that reminds me of where they were doing some assignment in school and the teacher said, write down what you want to be when you grow up. And the kid wrote down happy. And, the teacher said, I don't think you understand the assignment. And the child replied, I don't think you understand life, and which was really philosophical and deep for a child to say. But that reminds me of that, you know.
That's awesome.
I could see young Adam just being like, "Hey, why don't we turn the music up and the news down? We'd all be a little happier about everything," you know.
Yeah, right. I could see. I ended up writing a song, and the hook is "Everything is always all right when I turn the world down and turn the music up loud."
So, I love it.
Yeah.
Number 5 Apocalypso.
Planets come and planets go. Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good song. I felt guilty for putting it at 10 on my list, but there's just others that I like a little bit better. But it's, I mean, I love the sentiment. I love the idea of being happy as the world's collapsing around you, right?
They do say the universe is bound to blow.
That's what they say. That's what they say. Number five for me is Love in the Library.
Wow. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that from an English teacher.
You thought it would be higher.
Yeah, I did. It's higher for me, obviously.
I love the song. I love Jimmy's Songs You Don't Know by Heart version. I love the literary references. Mm-hmm. It's smooth. I love the song. Really, five and two really could be interchanged, like five through two at any time. They could.
I bet we have the same number one.
I think we might.
Yep.
Oh, number four. I'll go ahead and do my number four.
Let's do it.
That's Where Everybody's Got a Cousin in Miami appears for me. There you go. Alluded to it. It's got my favorite Jimmy line in it, possibly my favorite Jimmy line. I'm umbilically connected to the temperate zone. I love it. I love the mention of their husbands having a Coke, big Coke guy.
I don't know. You know, you got to be careful with the Coke references and Miami and Jimmy Buffett. You know,
Coca-Cola.
Yeah, that's right. To be clear, everybody.
That's right. That's my vice. Coca-Cola. Yeah.
Coca-Cola is your vice. Yeah.
Coca-Cola, not crack.
By the way, if you ever need a good concert goer partner, guys, I'll tell you, they don't come better than Adam Capps. Incredible mood all the time. Knowledgeable about the music. And if you need it, a surefire ride home, you know?
That's true. That's
big time. Hey,
college sucked going to concerts. Because I had to take everybody home, whether I knew them or not. And I had like a pickup truck. So there would be people in like the bed of the truck, and it just was not fun feeling like everyone's dad. So
I had a friend like that in college. And one Christmas, we all pooled our money together and bought him a CD player for his car.
Oh, nice. Yeah. No one ever bought me anything. So. Let's see. You're number four.
Delaney Talks to Statues.
Good song. Good song.
Cool name. Beautiful little girl.
It's my number three. So we can kill two birds with one stone. Okay. Yeah, we always talked about it. If we had a little girl, we were going to name her Delaney. God smiled on us. We had a little girl. She's perfect. Again, not talking to statues yet, but growing up too fast. I said all that in our last episode. And I love the name. Obviously, I got the name from the song. If Jimmy's daughter had been named Sally, and this song was Sally Talks to Statues, no offense to any listeners we have named Sally, but I don't think I would have named our daughter Sally. But I love the name Delaney. It's beautiful. The song is beautiful. And I'm not rushing time, but I am looking forward to making, Lord willing, memories like Jimmy talks about in this song with my daughter. So
I love that. I think we've talked about the name Delaney before on the podcast a couple of years ago when I was still teaching the colleges, you know. Remember I talked about that young lady in my class named Delaney, and I got to her name on the roll and I was like, Delaney. And I said, where'd you get the name? And she goes, well, my parents were a huge Jimmy Buffett. And I stopped right there. I've heard enough. Easy A for her. I hope she's doing well out there in the big wide world, wherever she is.
Love that.
Big time. Great name. Number four, Delaney Talks to Statues. Number three for me, title track, Fruitcakes. Co-written by our friend Amy Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Our friend's friend, Amy Lee, I should say. Hope Anthony's
friend of
well.
A friend.
Friend of a friend, Amy Lee. Hope she's well out there too in the big wide world. Left the band. Who knows why? But wrote Fruitcakes with Jimmy. And that's a tune. Like I said, really well written song.
Yeah, you can really hear her influence on the horns there.
God, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Yeah, she was a really good writer. They wrote quite a few songs together, and that's one of the best. It's one of the best. So
we've got two songs left for both of us, which means we got a different number two, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is Love in the Library, number two.
Mine is Long Palm. Yeah.
Wild deal, you know?
Mine is Long Palm. In fact, I was Fruitcake on the radio a few years back, and Long Palm was one of my songs that I chose.
I like Lone Palm. I do. You catch me on the right day, it'd be three or four on this record for me. I might listen to it tonight when I get home. Yeah, I had one of those days where I can dream about being under my lone palm. There's no doubt. But man, the album's so complete.
It is.
Love in the Library is so good. And I'll tell you why Love in the Library is good to me. It is the imagery it brings up, the subtleness of the lyrics. And I think some people can easily miss them, right? Like, you know, near Civil War history, my heart skipped a beat. She was standing on fiction, stretched high on bare feet. Now, you got to know, too, who Jimmy was in the early 90s, still having some fun in Key West, but he certainly made his way to fame and fortune. And to me, that imagery, I can see a callback to, you know, Key West Public Library in 1976, or pick your year. You know, you could see a nice young lady reaching for a book, bare feet in Key West, as they do down there very often. Maybe a little ankle bracelet on, I bet, you know, probably long tangled hair and a little little dress that Jimmy liked her in. I could just see that. The imagery, I mean, just little things like that, you know? Surrounded by stories, surreal and sublime. Big time.
A Mac co-write, as was Delaney Thompson's Statues.
Way to go, Mac. Mm-hmm. Mac McAnally, one of the elite songwriters in history, for the record.
He is.
And don't take my word for it. Just go ask half of Nashville.
Back to Long Palm, my number two. Taste for the good life. I can live it no other way. That's the line for me. Mm-hmm. That's the line. Like, I'm a teacher, right? I'm not rich by any means. We don't make any money doing this podcast. So still, it's like, that reminds me that's not what the good life's about, though. Like, sometimes, like in Color of the Sun, you know, it says, even the worst of beaches will never let you down. Like, sometimes it's that. It's just getting out, enjoying the beauty of God's creation. And sometimes it's, you know, holding Delaney or hanging out with my wife. All these simple things that I just love. How every time I hear that, it reminds me, taste for the good life. I can live it no other way. Like, whatever your good life is, like, live it, you know?
Whatever. I love that. I tell people that all the time. Color of the Sun, by the way, good tune.
We probably
don't give it its due over here. The best of times can somehow still be found, you know? Great lines throughout that one. We probably don't give that song its due on the podcast, but unbelievably well-written song. And I like that, you know, whatever your good life is, live it no other way. Because I tell people that all the time. I genuinely hope this for most people, and the people that know me best in the world would back this up. I genuinely hope everyone lives the best version of their life, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
If it's to be rich and successful and, you know, work 90 hours a week and have a mansion and a beach house and a private jet, if that's your best version of life, man, I hope you smash it. I hope you're Elon Musk in 5 years. You know, if the best version of your life is getting home at 4:45 and you're not stressed out and you're a good present dad and get to hang with the family, great, man. Big time. I hope you do that every day of your life and don't take it for granted a single time. You know,
that's right.
I'm with you. Some real introspection going on the pod tonight, Adam.
Yeah. Heck
number
yeah.
One.
You know what it is.
I knew we would link five, up at some man. Point on this.
Heck yeah.
Mm. Number one, quietly making noise.
Some of the best lyrics he's ever written. I truly believe it. And paired with this melody. Oh my gosh. Mm. Paired with this melody. It's just something else.
There have been a few songs I've threatened to listen to tonight. And I genuinely probably will listen to them. But I thought, like, I'm most excited to get home at and listened to Lone Palm, you know, and then I talked about Apocalypso, and I was like, well, I'm actually probably most excited to get home and listen to that. Now it's no contest. I'm going to listen to Quietly Making Noise like on my drive home from the office tonight. No question.
It's like maybe my favorite Buffett driving song now. It's so good. Like I said, that when the melody picks up and the horns and everything come in, it's soaring. I think I said that when we were talking about it last episode. We're reading a story in my English 2 class right now, and the metro was mentioned from Paris.
And down in the metro, I see the world start to multiply.
Yeah, that's the first thing that I think of. I love this. I heard a live version of this song. He's only played it once live in like the last 5 or 6 years. In fact, I think it was in 2016, so that would have been almost 7 years ago. But when he says, I don't want to be another victim of fashion, I don't want to see my name in the paper each day. You know, normally he says you can leave that to the Young Turks. They're more handsome and dashing. In the live version, he said you can leave that to the young folks and all the Kardashians. So, you know, he's going to keep it relevant. He's going to keep it relevant. Because I love so many lines in this song.
I would say Far Side of the World and Quietly Making Noise may be certainly probably my top three or four that I've never heard live that I'd want to.
Oh, absolutely. This song would be so much fun to hear at a show. Followed the beat, I found myself in this patois spot. Outside a blizzard was blowing, but inside the joint was hot.
Here's the question. We've gushed over so many songs. Do we do 4 songs tonight?
Let's just do one. One outside of this album that you've been feeling lately.
Far Side of the World. I said it earlier a couple times for a reason. It's on Tara's. I still can't shake it because it's on Tara's playlist. You mentioned it, Zanzibar, earlier. Zanzibar, you know, the 90s are real Zanzibar heavy decade for Jimmy Buffett. I wonder if there's another artist who mentions Zanzibar specifically in 2 completely separate songs and albums in the same decade.
No, probably not. Not another American.
We might have found a world record
artist
here tonight.
I'm sure we have.
Far Side of the World. What a tune. People got to understand the concept behind the album and the song too.
Yeah.
You know, like
that was one when I was Fruitcake on the radio. That was the first song I played. I did Far Side, Barometer Soup, Lone Palm, and Color of the Sun. And I'd love to do it again. It'd be fun to do again because it would be 4 different songs.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Ringling Ringling. I don't think we've ever mentioned that song on the podcast. Got a real kick out of that.
I did. I thought I was one of the only even big Jimmy Buffett fans that appreciated Ringling Ringling. You know, like
you like that song?
Do what?
You like that song?
Oh, I love it. I love it too.
I've been playing it a lot.
Listen, it's easy, in my opinion, unfortunately. It's easy for it to get lost on that album, you know? I mean, Living and Dying in 3/4 Time, obviously, immediately you think Come Monday.
Yeah. It's at the end. West Nashville.
Then you got West Nashville you got to deal with.
After those three, it's probably
Wino. Yeah, I mean, Wino.
Wino's on there. Ringling Ringling's one of my 3 favorite songs on that record, though.
You know what else on there? You know what I really underrated on that record that I love? Livingston's Gone to Texas.
It's a good one.
So we were actually standing in line at the Key West show, and a few folks were standing around talking. They were talking about a local artist named Livingston, and they're like, "Is he still around? Still playing music?" Or when they were asking where he's been, because he used to play at a couple bars in Key West. His last name was Livingston, and I was standing there and couldn't help myself, and I said, "I don't know. I think he's gone to Texas." Last I heard, and one of the men looked at me and he was like, "Well, he must be back because he played there a couple weeks ago or whatever." No, and I just laughed. And like probably 15 seconds later, one of the other people in the group was like, "I got it. That's what you're talking about." The song went completely over my head.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Man, that was a deep pull." And I was like, "Well, you mean to tell me that you don't routinely listen to 50-year-old Jimmy Buffett songs enough to casually reference them in conversation? I guess not, you know, but they're lost.
I love that song. I've been listening to that a lot lately. I
It's a
don't know
dying
why.
little town, you
It's a
know?
dying little town.
The dying little town. Well, Adam,
Yeah,
this is
that's
not
a
a
good one.
dying little podcast. We are back, baby, with a vengeance. This was a great episode. I think our first new episode we put out just off to the races, baby. You know,
Yeah.
folks are fired up. They're glad we're back. They're interacting with us on social media. I'm sure some people have been to the new website, which we're still working on. Got some cool things coming, but man.
Yeah, we're back. What
We're
else
back,
to
baby.
say?
We're
That was
back.
fun. What a great record. I think Jana put a poll out on Spotify. I don't know where else, but asking which record we should do next. And I have no clue what's leading. I think One Particular Harbor is. So,
You know what? I'll say this about One Particular Harbor. Very easy to pick the worst song on that album as well.
well, I agree, but it'd be a different song. So. There's not much mystery, I feel like, between you and I and the Revelations, maybe for the listeners.
Perhaps.
We
Perhaps. We'll have to do that one soon.
Let
One
me tell you
Particular
what.
Harbor.
We would be really good at like a Buffett newlywed game.
We would be really great at that. We'd be really great at that.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, are you good? Anything else?
I'm great. I'm great. Why don't you tell the people about our social media, where they can find us, what they can click on? Make sure, guys, you subscribe on Apple, Anchor, Spotify, wherever you consume your podcast. Make sure you hit that old subscribe button. Give us a 5-star. Someone gave us a 4-star rating. Okay, on Spotify, which out of hundreds of ratings, we're at like a 4.9 something because like one person gave us a 4-star, I think. And I have to think it must have been a mistake.
Did they say why?
No, I don't think so. Maybe it was Apple Music. I don't know. Wherever it was, I'm counting on the fact that it was a mistake. So there you go.
I'm sure, because we're perfect.
5 stars, baby.
Yeah, so you can find us on Facebook at Under 40 Victims of Fate podcast. Twitter's Under 40P because Hank doesn't know how to work Twitter. And on Instagram at Under 40 Pod. And you can check out that new website, which is under40pod.com.
That's the one.
That's right.
That's the one. It's been outstanding. We'll let the sweet guitar melody of Dave McKinney take our listeners into their day or night, wherever they are when they listen to us. Thanks for checking us out. Thanks
yeah,
for
thank
listening.
You guys.
We're glad to be back.
Thank you guys for listening. I'm going to go wash some dishes. Fins up.